Middle East on the brink. North Korea on the brink. Iran increasing its aggression. Elections in Taiwan. Look, there's a lot of global instability as we ourselves plunge into primary season. How have you sheltered your savings and investments from potential major setbacks to the economy? You think it can happen here? It can happen here, but it's not too late to diversify an old IRA or 401k into gold. And Birch Gold Group can help you with that. Birch Gold is the only gold company I trust. As opposed to many other investments, gold thrives in times of uncertainty. It is an important part of diversifying your savings. Now listen, here's how Birch Gold can help make it a part of yours. Birch Gold will help you convert an existing IRA or 401k into a tax-sheltered IRA in gold. And it doesn't cost you a penny out of pocket. You want to learn more? Just text SAVAGE to 989898 for a free info kit. SAVAGE, text it to 989898 and you get a free info kit. It costs you nothing. Just text SAVAGE to 989898. With an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau, countless five-star reviews, and thousands of happy customers, I encourage you to arm yourself with the knowledge of diversification through precious metals. Protect yourself. Text SAVAGE to 989898 and claim your free info kit. Protect your savings with gold. Do it now. Text SAVAGE to 989898. Thank you very much. Birch Gold is the only gold company I trust. Text SAVAGE to 989898.
Warning, The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, the world's most exciting podcast, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, New York Times best-selling author and National Radio Hall of Fame inductee, Michael Savage.
WABC Mendel, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yes, Michael, I've tried many times to talk to you about the end times from Jewish sources. And when you today use Christian sources, when the Jewish people are already hated all over the globe, just to inflame our enemies against us, it really
Whoa. Stop getting hysterical. What are you talking about?
When you start talking about the Sanhedrin that was responsible for the crucifixion of the Nazarene, don't you realize as a Jew how sensitive that issue is to us?
All right, so let's talk about it without getting hysterical. Who was it who tried Jesus?
That's irrelevant. The point is that...
Well, why is it irrelevant? You're raising an issue. You're saying I'm committing a crime by talking about the truth. So let's talk about the truth. Since you're a Hebrew truth-sayer, tell me the truth. Who tried Jesus?
The point is, even if he did exist, which is a controversial subject on its own...
Even if he did exist, you mean... Now you sound like those who say that even if God existed...
Not at all, because...
Not at all. Why? Because you're Jewish, so therefore Jesus doesn't exist? Do you realize how insulting that is to Christians?
No, let's set the record straight.
No, let's set the record straight. You called me up and said it's offensive of me to say that the Sanhedrin tried Jesus. Let's start with the historic fact. That is a fact.
That only makes Christians hate us more when we're already hated enough in France and in England.
Christians hate you more.
What?
Why does it make Christians hate you more when the exact opposite is the point I was making? I was saying to you that a minority of the Jewish judges said Jesus was innocent. Didn't you hear that part of it?
Whether he was innocent or guilty, to bring up something which has been...
Let's blow the lid off this nonsense, Mendel. You live in your own world. You live in the world of the Bible, the Talmud, the five books of Moses, and the Torah and the Talmud, and I respect that. But is it not true that your children are not allowed to learn science?
Not at all. My children.
Is it not true that your children are not allowed to learn certain facts of history because it violates their belief system?
My children have a secular education up to the 8th grade, and my daughters up to the 12th grade.
And what happens after the 12th grade?
12th grade, they went to seminary. All my daughters, three of them, cannot...
All right, that's well and good. That is your choice, but does that mean that knowledge ends with your daughters?
No, and my sons went to have an education, one of them up to 12th grade, and one of them up to the 8th grade, and then went right on to seminary themselves.
That's fine. So you're raising a children who are religious, but does that mean that they have perfect knowledge of the whole world?
No, it means that when they have Torah, Torah is perfect knowledge of the whole world because...
Yeah, I understand that's what you believe, but it's not true to most of the world. And most of the world right now is living with barbarians who would slaughter you and your daughters. And we need to wake the world up to what's actually going on.
Let's talk about what's going on in terms of Jewish sources. Number one, we're in what's called the fifth exile. The last one is that of the Yishmaelim, the one we're going through right now.
All right, stop with the Yishmaelim already. Please don't bring up Yonah Shimmel to me. Talk in English. What is your main point?
The Ishmaelites, the Muslims, the Arabs. It's talked about in Jewish sources that they're going to make wars all over the world. That they're the only religion that makes slaughtering innocent human beings a sacrament. The Torah says that Yishmael is going to be a wild ass of a man.
All right, hold on a minute. And how do you fight this evil, these barbarians? How do you fight them? With the Torah or with a bomb?
You have to eradicate them the same way you have to eradicate the Amalekites.
You have to eradicate them, okay? And how do you eradicate them?
The commandment to...
I asked you, how do you eradicate them? I asked you a simple question. Let's come out of the yeshiva for 2 minutes. How do you eradicate this evil?
You bomb them to smithereens.
Okay, you bomb them to smithereens or I bomb them?
No,
I don't bomb them. The American military bombs them, 99% of whom are Christians.
That's your question. If there was a war...
Do you hear what I just said to you? 99% of the U.S. military are Christians. Take a look at the graves around America, the military graves. They have crosses on them. Do you know why? Because they believed in something. They believed in their religion. When they died, they were given the last rites, Christian rites they were given. Don't you think that we should respect that as well?
Michael, why do you always have to cite the...
Why do you always have to denigrate people other than Jewish people? Why? Why do you have to do that to make your point, tell us how holy you are?
My point is that you are bringing more anti-Semitism on us.
Ah, don't give me that garbage. Don't make me jump to your tune. I'm not going to fall for it.
Let me tell you about the...
I'm not going to fall for this. I'm not afraid of you. I'm not afraid of your holy rolling, because if you really want to get into it, I'll dig even more deeply into your whole scene. You want to go into it?
Go ahead.
You want to go into your scene and how holy you really are? Well, let's go into how holy you really are. Are you still there, Mendel?
I'm here. Tell us how holy we are.
Okay. What percentage of ultra-religious people in your sect are on welfare?
What does that mean, that you're unholy? If they need it, they need it.
Oh, they need it. Well, because I happen to oppose welfare. I find it a leech that takes welfare. It makes me sick. I grew up in a poor home. I knew people, my people would rather throw themselves off a fire escape than accept public assistance.
In this case, we have people who are discriminated against. They can't get jobs because they look like Hasidim with long...
Here we go again. Okay, you see, you've got all the answers, don't you, Mendel?
Live the life.
You got all the answers, but your number one answer is whenever anyone says anything that you don't like, you scream anti-Semitism. You're your worst enemy, Mendel.
Not at all. But the people that are holy have children sometimes, and 5 or 6, 7, even 10 or more children doing what God blessed them to do.
All right, so they should work at the same time as doing God's work. You can do both. In fact, I read the Talmud. It says a man should have a profession or a trade and study the Torah. It didn't say she'd sit and collect welfare and study the Torah. Where does it say that?
This is the most generous, kind country in the entire world. And always...
But you deny that the religion exists of this generous, kind nation.
No, I didn't deny...
You said even if it exists, you deny its existence. You say that the kind people don't even have a religion.
Got enough already.
Stay on the line.
Michael Savage, a host like no other.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PI, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends, so for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, podcast, homecast.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Lauren, we are sisters.
That's true.
And we host a celebrity-obsessed podcast called Pop Apologists.
We also love Taylor Swift. Chandler, how are you managing to cope while we await Taylor's new album?
Look, I want to be put into a medically induced coma and wake up on April 19th, but I'm not sure my insurance is going to cover it.
Join us on our pop culture podcast, Pop Apologists, where we will be dishing on all things celebrity news and deep diving every word and note of Taylor's new album.
Pop Apologists.
Pop Apologists.
Peter on WRKO, you're on the Savage Nation.
Franklin Roosevelt saved England and basically Europe, not Churchill.
Okay. So what is it you're arguing about FDR? What part of this argument am I missing?
Well, you're missing the fact that you tout Churchill as the great leader that in certain instances was, but he could stand there and make the speech that we will fight on the beaches and so on and so forth. But if FDR...
All right, well, let's take one person at a time. Churchill was the spiritual or intellectual leader of the English people. He tried to warn them through the 1930s. They wouldn't listen to him. During the war, they did listen to him, and he gave them the courage to fight. Admittedly, it was the Lend-Lease deal and the American troops who saved England. But are you arguing, therefore, that because FDR was a liberal, that only a liberal can save America?
Excuse me, FDR was a progressive Democrat, and if you are a...
All right, he was a progressive Democrat. So are you arguing that the internment of the Japanese by this progressive Democrat was a liberal policy that you would support?
I'm not discussing Japan. I'm discussing the fact that...
Sir, you just said that FDR was a progressive Democrat and that he saved the West during World War II. So I'm asking you, which of the progressive Democrat's policies is it that you are offering us as an example today? Is it the internment of the Japanese?
Nope, I'm talking about the fact of the Second World War and beginning before the Second World War.
Well, sir, wait a minute. You cannot separate and take away individual acts of FDR and say that those were exceptions. Didn't he pass an executive order to intern the Japanese?
Absolutely. But if you
all right, so wait. No, wait. Does that make him a progressive Democrat? Or does that tell us that in times of war, the progressive politics that you seem to be a fan of may have to be put on hold?
Again, I'm not going to discuss that. If you want to end the call, fine. I want to talk about...
What do you mean you won't discuss it? Is that because you can't or you won't?
No, I won't. How's that?
Well, why not? Tell me why you will not discuss the internment of the Japanese, since you're glorifying FDR and you're saying it's his liberalism that saved the West. But I'm asking you if his acts during World War II, of which there were many, including the internment of the Japanese, were liberal acts or were they actually conservative acts?
They were acts at the time that probably were warranted, but hindsight, Monday morning quarterback, showed that they would not have been done if people were not concerned with a so-called imminent attack by the Japanese on our West Coast. Okay?
Wait a minute. I'm missing the point. So let's look at some of the... You don't want to talk about the internment of the Japanese by this progressive Democrat. So let's talk about some of the other acts of FDR during World War II that certainly don't exhibit any kind of progressive... they're not of a progressive liberal nature. They were very clearly conservative in nature. Many of his acts were conservative in nature. So during the war, he was able to put aside his socialism and his tendencies toward liberalism and move to save America. So I don't see where you and I have to argue over this.
Yeah, we do have to argue over it because of the fact that the way you tout Churchill with regard to basically saving England is a lot of horse feathers because it took...
So you're arguing now that Churchill's work in the 1930s was of to no avail? He single-handedly built up the British armaments industry. What are you talking about?
Look, if it wasn't...
He was fought by men like you who were appeasers who said, Germany does not threaten us. We don't need to build up our Navy. We don't need to build up our Air Force. It was because of Churchill that they built the Spitfire plane during the 1930s. It was because of Churchill that they built up the Royal Navy, that they had a military. So how can you argue he had no effect upon the war?
And in our country, we had so-called conservative Republicans that said, this fight is not ours. Europe's war is not ours. You don't remember that, but if you read history, you would have seen that.
Well, don't lecture me about history because you read one book. Your points do not make sense. What you're trying to argue is that we need a progressive leader to save us in this battle against Islamofascism. But I'm willing to bet that you won't even identify Islamofascism as the threat, will you? But what happened to you? What happened to you? You went deaf, dumb, and blind all of a sudden? Where do you stand on the threat from Osama bin Laden and the Islamofascists? Do you say it doesn't exist, it does exist, or what?
No, I don't want to even get into that. I'm not.
Well, what do you want to get into? Why are you wasting my time? Go back to one of your communist halls down there in Boston and give yourself the malarkey and then have a scotch on me. You're living in the past, my friend. You're an old trade unionist who doesn't even know what the hell you're talking about anymore.
Conflict of interest in discussing all of this, too.
You don't know what you're talking about. You have no idea what you're talking about. If you're unwilling or unable to understand the threat we're facing from the Muslim invasion and the Muslim crusade that is going on around the world, how can we even have a discussion?
No, I understand what the threat is.
So what do we argue with? Then why are you and I two good Americans fighting? Why are we fighting with each other?
Threat is, okay. I understand what the threat is, but I'm
so
not...
Then why are you and I, where are we disagreeing? I don't even understand what the disagreement is.
My disagreement is with your, you're touting Churchill at every time I listen to you, and I do listen to you because it's entertainment. Not fact, but entertainment.
That's right. In other words, you liberals are the only ones who have brains. We have no brains, the conservatives. We entertain you. The reason you're listening to me is that inside you, there's a man who can still live and stand up and understand reality. The man who wants to overcome and break free of the shackles of liberalism. That's why you're listening to me. I'm not entertaining you. I'm educating you, Peter.
No, not me. If you look at the people that have taken us through wars from the First World War through the Second World War, through Korea, through Vietnam, were all Democrat presidents. They
weren't. So what are you saying, that the Democrats are the party of war?
Fanatical, radical...
Wait a minute. Are you saying that the Democrats are the party of militancy and war?
No, I'm saying that the Democrats...
Oh, wait, you just said that. I agree with you. It has been Democrats who've taken us to war. Absolutely, I agree with you. So what's your point? That they're a militant party of war? Well, then I would gladly become a Democrat if they were still a party willing to stand up for America, but they're not. They become a sort of European socialist party of appeasers. They're not that party that you're talking about. I would gladly join a party that was still a JFK, FDR type party. They disappeared a long time ago, Peter. I think you're living in another world.
No, they didn't disappear. They're there. They are there.
What about my statement that in 1933, did you hear that piece or you missed that?
Which one? Churchill?
The year that the Nazis came to power, the Oxford Union, which is the debating society where all of the future British political elite would debate, they passed a resolution that said this house would under no circumstances fight for its king and country. That you and I would agree, I think, that that's appeasement, wouldn't you?
You got to remember your history. The Germans and the
Sir, wait, don't speak down to me. Don't talk down to me because I'll throw you off my show. This is my bar, not yours. You got to remember your history, and you got to remember that I'm far more educated than you are.
Well, yeah, that's why they didn't accept you into Berkeley. You remember how much you were?
Sir, excuse me. Hello, I earned my PhD from the University of California at Berkeley. What are you talking about? Just what are you talking about?
I never applied
for anything but admission to the PhD program, and I got my PhD in 3 years, sir, with a 3.94. A GPA, whatever they call it, out of a 4.0. Can you match those credentials, sir?
What about the time you applied for...
Well, no. You see, again, you're a classic weasel. Every time you lose a point, you change the argument. You can't win one point with me, so you keep going to the next point. But I got news for you. You're fighting a futile battle.
You're absolutely
1933,
right.
The Nazis come to power. The Oxford Union, a liberal debating society, says... We, this house, would under no circumstances fight for its king and country. That is appeasement. You know that, and I know that. How did Hitler take it? He said, well, the British would never fight another war with Germany. He became emboldened. It's identical to what your leader, Nancy Pelosi, is doing with the Islamofascists. Every time your party of appeasers, called the Democrats, pass another resolution against the war, pass another resolution appeasing the Muslims, pass another resolution saying women in burqas can work at security counters in America because we'd be racist otherwise. Every time your party of appeasers does that, they dig the grave of America another foot deeper. And I'm ashamed at you, sir, because you probably were one day, at one time in your life, an educated, intelligent man. So I'm going to send you how to reduce the risk of Alzheimer's because I'm afraid that you're in the early stages of that dread disease. That's the only explanation of what happened to you.